Father God, I just want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you that you are with us. And I want to thank you that... Is that one in? Okay, is that better? Yes. I want to thank you that you will speak through me today. So Lord, I ask that you will just give me the words to speak, that I will not say anything that you don't want people to hear, and that we will move closer to you this morning and be reminded of these good things, these instructions and promises from your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I shared a few weeks ago, I think it was a month ago, I shared a message on joy. And as I was praying for our church before we started, I felt the Lord say to me, I want to outpour so much joy and unity and blessing on Hawkesbury Valley Baptist. So a few weeks ago, I spoke about joy and I spoke about how just as David prayed that, you know, restore to me the joy of my salvation. So I talked about repenting, declaring who God is and praising him and the importance of worship in bringing that joy from the Lord back into our lives. But today I want to unpack the second thing I was speaking about. I want to unpack that concept of unity. Look a little bit at what the Bible has to say about unity and just some practicalities of what we can do as a church family to kind of usher in that unity amongst us. So I want to start today with some words from Psalm 133. It says in verses 1 to 3, it says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." So when we're thinking about this concept of unity, about being one as the body of Christ, as the body of believers, first thing I want to remind us of is we need to remember who we are and we need to remember whose we are. And I'm just reminded of that song that I know a lot of us have sung as children and a lot of us sang over our own children, and like that song of that Jesus loves me, this I know. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And I think sometimes we can actually forget that he loves us and forget that, or actually just go about doing things for him. But I think this morning I just want to stop and remind us, and we need to remind ourselves that Jesus loves us. He loves me. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. We are children of the living God, the living God. We sang about it this morning. He's alive. We don't serve a God that is dead and was a God that once was. We serve a God that is, and he's alive and he loves us. We are sons and daughters of the living God. It says in Ephesians 1 verse 5 to 6, it says, "God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son." Everyone say belong. We belong to his dear son, and he loves us. So we remember who we are, and we remember whose we are. The second thing I want to remind us of this morning, and I'm about to ask for some volunteers because I like having friends out here with me. So in a moment, I'm going to ask for 4 volunteers. Yes, I have chocolate for you if you're willing to come and be brave up the front. Second thing I want to remind us of this morning is that we are told in the Word to be of one heart and mind. God loves us, and because of that, we can love one another. It is not about us all being the same, but it's about us being on the same team. I love church, and I just think church is such a beautiful expression of a place where people can come together with a common goal. I can't actually think of anywhere else where such different people can actually come together and be unified under a common goal. If I'm on a soccer team, which I once was, which was hilarious because I'm not sporty at all, if I'm on a soccer team, I kind of need to be good at soccer or at least like soccer. If I'm in a quilting club, I need to like quilting. If I am in a choir, I have to be good at singing. if I am if I'm in a chess club, I actually have to be good at chess. But church is a place that we can all come together with our differences, and we come together under one common goal. Now, the Bible says a lot of things about unity involving the mind. So in the spirit of unity, I do need some volunteers to come up. Can I get four people to jump up? All you've got to do is read a Bible verse. It's really, really easy. Can I get four friends to jump up? Don't make my front row friends bail me out. Come on, no, come on. Oh, yes, we've got some back row people. Yay. Thank you, Chris. Good morning. That one's for you. Thank you so much, Lockie. That's awesome. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Tiffany. Okay, we're going to start with Chris. She's going to read to us.
1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there will be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought.
Beautiful. Thank you. Who's got 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.
Acts 4:32, all the believers were of one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had.
2:2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind.
Awesome, thank you. Help yourself to a chocolate, guys. Give them a clap, everyone. Thank you so much. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Chris. Awesome. Okay, be of one heart and one mind, agreeing with one another. Coming together with a common goal. Sounds a bit impossible, doesn't it? But what does the word say? With God, all things are possible. So my heart says Jesus loves me, so I can love you. My mind is submitted to Christ and his truth. The third thing I want to say, so what is it? We remember whose we are. We remember who we are. We remember whose we are. We come together with one heart and one mind. And the third thing today is we're in this together. Quite a few years ago, my boys were at their athletics carnival. And I got to the end of the athletics carnival, and they always save the 1500 metre race for last because it's the longest one. I don't know why they save it for last, because it's the one you need the most endurance for. But anyway, they save the 1500 metre race for last. And two of my boys decided to go into this race. So I had my eldest boy, Declan, and then my third son, Asher, who decided to go in this 1500 metre race. And I'm going to read to you. I had to scroll back through Facebook, and I found this post back from 2017, and it said, "Do you ever feel like all your kids do is fight, and that you spend all your time growling at them, and you worry that you're failing as a mum, as a dad, as a grandma, as a grandpa? But then these glimpses of them turning into loving people come. Today I watch my eldest boy come alongside my middle guy and run the entire 1500 metre race with him. They even purposely finished the race so they tied with each other. They came second last. What a brilliant win." I loved it. I just watched these boys who love to fight with each other, but actually go, do you know what? It's not about winning this race. It's about encouraging one another, and it's about doing it together. Winning is not about one person dominating. That's not winning at all. We are all running this race of life, this race of faith together. Sometimes we stumble and someone stops to help us up. Sometimes we might need carrying. Sometimes we'll be the carrier or the person that's out in front. But we're not running to win for ourselves. We're leading others in the way of life, and we are in this together. It's not a few people doing everything, but it's us sharing the load. So unity is not a few people that are the faces who can, like, we probably look at people and we go, well, I can't sing like Kate, I can't play drums like Isaac, I can't play guitar like Andrew, but maybe you're someone that can make a cup of tea. Maybe you're someone that can serve on the kids' ministry. Maybe you're someone that can come and actually just smile at someone. We can all smile. We can stand on the gate and smile at one another. So we bring what we have and we come together and we share the load. So I'm going to read to us today. We're probably really, we really know this verse, these verses well from 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to read from verse 12. It says here, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the one Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand,' that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I am not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honourable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honourable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honour and care are given to these parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other." I'm going to read that again. "This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But let me show you a way of life that is best of all." So I want us to think about today, what are my gifts? What are my talents? What can I grow into? Because we're all about growth, aren't we? We're about moving forward and letting God shape us and letting God actually grow us into the people he wants us to be. 1 Corinthians 12 speaks of being one body with many parts. We are each given gifts and talents, all of us. Every single one of us has been given gifts and talents from God. And we bring them together to serve the body of Christ, the church. We need each other. We need each other. Look at the person next to you and say, "We need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. We can't do this alone. We need the greeters on the gate. We need the hospitality team. We need the singers. We need the musicians. We need the tech team. We need the pack up and set down team. We need the kids leaders, the youth leaders, the pastoral carers, the OCC packers. We need the carols volunteers. We need you. And we don't do it because they're jobs to be done. We actually do it and it does so much more for us. If we're giving and we're part of the body of Christ, we actually find our belonging. Just like those verses said before, God has called us into his family. He has adopted us into his family so we belong. So we function as a family, a functional family where we're all giving of ourselves, where we're all playing a part. And the goal is, and what God wants to do, it's to strengthen the body. It's not to exhaust us. It's not so a few people are doing everything. It's not to exhaust us, but it's to strengthen the body. And if we're all playing our part, if we're all contributing, the load doesn't feel so heavy because it's just not. A little side note, I said it's got to be fun. Like, we have to have fun together. And I know that was a bit naughty that I gave chocolates to the people in the front row, but like, let's have fun together. It was fun. When I walked in this morning, I'm like, was there some dance party on here last night? I heard a little girl walk through that silver glittery thing over there. She goes, it's like a magic portal. I'm like, oh my goodness, isn't that gorgeous? Imagine if we walked into church, we're like, it's like a magic portal. Like, it's got to be fun. And it is like a magic portal. We're coming into God's presence. So let's have fun together, because that's what family does. And remember what we talked about last time. Return to me the joy of my salvation. God doesn't ask us to take this heavy weight on us. It's not this burden that he wants to put on our shoulders. It is joyful to serve the Lord. And when we're doing it together and we're not taking ourselves too seriously and we can laugh at ourselves, first of all, and then together with each other, it's fun and it's joyful. Chapter 12, though, finishes with these words. It says in the New Living Translation, now let me show you the best way of all. So I want to encourage you to go home and to read chapter 13. And it speaks all about love and what this better way of love is. So yes, we bring our gifts, we bring our talents, we bring our time, but they are brought with love and we act out of love. And love is the glue that binds us together as the people of God. It's the glue that binds us together as members of Hawkesbury Valley Baptist Church. It is our point of difference. What does Jesus say? He's like, people will know you because of your love for one another. And that's what actually our point of difference is, that people, when they come into this place, that they will actually go, what is with these people? They love one another. And that should be our point of difference. And we need to do that well. So we come with our differences. It's not through our sameness, but it's through our differences when brought before the cross of Christ and filtered through the truth of his word, it is our love for the Lord and one another that will unify us. I want to finish today with a verse from Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14 says these words. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Unity requires forgiveness. It's not easy. It's something that we need to choose day in and day out, and we choose it again and again and again. But it is that linchpin almost for unity. We need to be people that bring our hearts before the Lord. Now, I know things can happen, and I'm not excusing things, and I'm not saying sometimes there's consequences for when we've hurt other people, but I'm encouraging us to be people that take our hearts before the Lord and actually go, Lord, your word says that we need to bear with one another, that we need to forgive one another. If someone's offended me, I'm asking that we be people that first take our own hearts to the Lord and go, Lord, I'm really hurt here. We can acknowledge that. Lord, I'm hurt here. I'm really hurt from what has happened in this situation. So Lord, show me what you want me to do with my heart, first of all, and then show me, Lord, the way that I can go about forgiving one another. Sometimes it's enough for the Lord to deal with us. Sometimes it's enough for us to bring our own hearts before him. And sometimes it will require tricky conversations. But when these tricky conversations are had with love, we can manage them and we can partake in them. And we know that forgiveness then leads to healing and it leads to unity amongst the believers, amongst the church. But this unity is always undergirded by love. We are bound together by love, love for the Lord and love for one another. So what do I want us to remember today? Number one, remember who I am and whose I am. Jesus loves me, this I know. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. We're going to be of one heart and mind, not the same. We bring our differences, but we're unified under this goal of serving the Lord and of seeing God's kingdom going forward on the earth, God's kingdom being pushed out into the Hawkesbury, that Jesus is being made known in the Hawkesbury. And the second, the last thing is we're in this together. We love one another. We're forgiving one another. We love one another. And that's what's going to set us apart, our love for one another, our love for the Lord, our love for one another. So I'm going to pray now. I'm going to ask you to I might ask you to stand with me. Can I get the band to come back up? And I might just get you to start playing a little bit. Just going to ask us to close our eyes. Lord, I want to thank you for your words. Thank you that you show us the way to go. I want to thank you, Lord, that you don't just launch us out into the world without direction, but that your word is true, that it is strong, and that it tells us what to do. So, Lord, today I just ask that we can bring our hearts before you. And, Lord, if we have unforgiveness in our hearts towards our brothers and sisters here, Lord, first deal with our hearts, soften our hearts. Lord, I ask that you'll forgive us for when we've hurt others. Forgive us for where we've done wrong. And Lord, help us to forgive others when they've hurt us too. So I pray for soft hearts in this place. I pray that we will remember that you love us. Jesus, that we are loved, we belong in your family, that we belong here at Hawkesbury Valley Baptist. And Lord, I ask that you will help us to be of one heart and mind, that we will be a people that are united under your goal, that we are a people that are united in building your kingdom, that we are a people that come together, not with our sameness, with our differences, brought before you, filtered through the truth of your word, and that we will serve you. And Lord, we're in this together. So I ask, Lord, that you will help us to rally, help us to work together as a family, help us to bring the gifts and talents that we have, and help us to use them for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to sing together.